Hi, this is Meredith Foster. This is the Epic Podcast. Enjoy.
I was looking for this perfect person that I could never find, but it was all produced out of anxiety, of fear of getting it wrong and being outside of God's will. And I think there was a fear and anxiety of maybe making the same mistakes that my mom and dad did.
Everybody has a story, and everyone is a chapter, a piece of a much bigger picture. Welcome to Epic.
A great big story
that's been happening since the beginning.
It's filled with redemption,
suffering,
hope.
And power.
It has many characters.
And so you and I are
a part of it.
We are not.
You're not the hero.
This is Epic.
Hi, this is Meredith Foster. Ryan Otto had always wanted to get married and have a family. But as he grew older, he became filled with fear. Fear of making a mistake, choosing the wrong spouse, living with regret. He was so afraid of disappointing God and being outside of his will that he found it easier to just stay single. But then he met Mary Jane. MJ wasn't like anyone else. There were so many reasons not to get involved. It took God moving in a big way to bring these two together. This is chapter 43 of Epic, Ryan and MJ Otto's story.
So my mom and dad were high school sweethearts, and they went to college together, and then freshman year I happened. So I was definitely a mistake in the world's eyes, but definitely a plan in God's eyes. But growing up, I was raised by my grandparents a lot and my mom and dad. My dad works for John Deere and kind of has traveled all over. And so just kind of growing up like with this dream of falling in love. I remember just the dream of, you know, watching Disney movies, probably put this as well, but yes. Just wanting to fall in love and find that perfect person. And to really have a family, because I didn't know what that was like. I have brothers and sisters now, but they're all half brothers and sisters. And I just, you know, going to friends' houses, I never knew what it was like to have a mom and dad together. And I met my stepmom, I think, when I was 2 or 3. My dad got married, and then my mom got married as I was entering high school. So, but I have no memory of my mom and dad being together. And I say that because I think as much as I dreamed and longed to find that perfect person, it produced a lot of anxiety and fear in me. Humbly, I was pretty popular in high school, played football, went to a very large high school. We had 600 in our graduating class alone. And I look back and I was always afraid to take that next step when I liked a girl or she liked me. I met a girl who I thought I was in love with when I was 21, and she actually helped to lead me to the Lord. And that's really when I got saved and came to know Jesus. I was a believer much of my life, but not a belonger. I definitely belonged to him, but he didn't belong to me yet. And when I got 21, I got saved in a powerful way and came to know him as my Father, as my Savior, as my living hope. And he's transformed my life from the inside out. And We ended up not working out. I just knew she wasn't the right one. We're still friends. She's married now. But I never really dated anyone. Looking back at my life, I never really had a girlfriend. Girls liked me and I liked girls, but I look back and there was always something that stopped me. And I think there was a fear and anxiety of maybe making the same mistakes that my mom and dad did. And I didn't want to go down that path. I love my mom and dad and very close to both of them, but there was a lot of fear of like, what if I mess up? What if I fall in love with someone and she's not the right person? And then after I got saved, there was fear of like, well, what if I fall out of God's will? And this fear, almost this religious fear of doing everything right. And it kind of paralyzed me from living a little bit. And so I went to seminary and got my MDiv. And then I actually did mission work and did this amazing program called the World Race, where you go to 11 countries in 11 months. And then I lived in Guatemala for 6 months and then went and actually led a World Race trip the year after. So I was doing mission work for about 3 years. And then right after that, I was going to move to Africa to work with Heidi Baker. And it was when I was in Costa Rica, I felt like God said, it's time to come home. And I said, well, Lord, where's home? Is that Ohio? I lived in Georgia. You know, I lived in Illinois just for a couple months. And he said, it's time to come home. And I have a blog, and I wrote in my blog, I'm coming home, which was very humbling because I already had raised money to go to Africa. I already told people.
Total change of direction.
Totally told. Mm-hmm. And I was nervous. I was scared, again, of what will people think. That was another fear that produced a lot of anxiety in my life growing up. What will people think? So I got a call a couple weeks later from our executive pastor, Mike Yoder. He hired me as the next college pastor at the Vineyard Church, and this is my fourth year, and I've been here ever since.
Mm-hmm. Did you, all through that journey, did you ever meet people that you thought, is this the person, God, or were you even able to look?
Totally, yeah. I think, I was probably looking too much, but, again, my friends would always say, Ryan, this girl likes you, especially in college, or why don't you date her? And again, there was just, it never felt right. And then after I got saved, there were a couple girls, maybe within a year time frame, that I liked or that liked me, and we kind of started talking and hanging out. But I was so strict with boundaries. I was so religious because I was so afraid of doing anything outside of God's will. I have a vivid memory of walking into my mom's room as a middle school kid and kind of getting emotional talking about it, but she was on her knees praying to God and crying and just saying, Lord, I don't know if I'm ever going to get married. And she didn't know this, but at that moment, as a seventh or eighth grade, I went into my room and I said, God, I pray that my mom will get married, even if that means I will never get married. And you know, back then I didn't really understand fully how God worked, but I was kind of like, God, give her who I would get married, let her get married
instead of me, a deal,
right?
Yeah.
And then, well, my mom met my stepdad like 6 months later, and a year later they were married. So I was so happy for her, but I think there was this fear and almost this belief of like, now I'm not going to get married.
Interesting.
And this fear of being alone. And then again, every time I did find someone I liked, I was looking for this perfect person that I could never find, but it was all produced out of anxiety, of fear of getting it wrong and being outside of God's will.
MJ, what about you? What was your history?
I actually grew up in Cleveland, Ohio as well. I have four brothers, two parents who are still married today. We just grew up in a very, we all did sports. So it's very just like sports and school. And I felt like we were always on the run, fast paced. I have done gymnastics ever since I was 3 years old. So that was something that really just ran throughout my life and still does today. Like growing up throughout school, I was always waking up, going to school, going to practice, coming home, doing homework, and then repeating the next day.
Yeah.
And
sort of stable structure.
Yeah, very stable structure. And kind of from that, I just kind of always like, okay, there's this plan I'm following. Like, this is the plan for right now. This is the plan for my life. Pertaining more to, relationships, I always imagined that, and kind of my family always imagined for me that I would meet some guy, marry a doctor, or, someone mm-hmm. who would, be able to provide a wealthy lifestyle. And I know me particularly, I was like, oh, I never, we grew up in church and we would go every Sunday. I was like, oh, I don't think I ever want to marry a pastor. They just seem so serious and not like they can have a lot of fun. And, just like the whole ministry thing seems like it can get sticky a lot. And so I knew that. I was like, I don't want to marry a pastor.
That one off, right?
Yeah. Right. You know, there's lots of other jobs in the world. I don't need to marry a pastor. So that was just, kind of the mentality I had. I dated two guys throughout high school, nothing that really flourished. And the second one kind of just broke up with me for no concrete reason. And so I was like, I'm kind of done. Like, I'm not looking. As I approached college and just grew throughout those years, I was like, I'm good. I'm not looking. And it was funny, actually, a week after that second boyfriend had broke up with me is when I met Ryan for the first time. It was like a week after.
Can you tell me about that experience?
Yeah. So as MJ alluded, we both grew up in Ohio, 20 minutes from each other, but we met in Champaign, Illinois. But I'm a college pastor, so I'm so blessed and honored to lead this college ministry from the Vineyard Church called Alive. And we were just starting Alive, and it was, I think, October or November, and so only 2 or 3 months in, and so it was growing really fast, really quickly, and there was this awesome group of athletes that started coming together. And I remember a couple weeks right before, I had been talking to a girl and it just ended really poorly. And I got really hurt through it. And it was funny because I too was finally like, God, I'm done. I'm not looking. I'm seriously like, I finally got a piece of like, if it's just you and me, Jesus, we're good. I kind of surrendered the dream of wanting to be a dad and a husband and just really, God, I'm done. And I probably said that out of hurt and sadness, but also I think there was a peace and reassurance of like, Jesus, you are all that I need. And I kind of, you know, that verse that says, delight in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And there really was like, Lord, you're my number one. I just surrender this to you. If it doesn't happen, I'm okay. And so it's interesting that we were both in that stage and not knowing it. But when after Alive, a couple of the athletes were like, you know, I'm a very passionate Ohio State fan. So when MJ came to Alive, they said, oh, guess what? Mary Jane is from Ohio. And we're like, no way, you're from Ohio, where? And found out that we literally grew up 20 minutes apart. And so that was just exciting. So we just started this friendship, you know, and I remember the first time I met her, I just so saw the light of Christ in her. And I could just tell that she had this deep and rooted relationship with Jesus, where, you know, it just started off as a friendship and not like a student that I was discipling or mentoring. I'm very young at heart, youthful at heart. I'm 33 now. And when we met, I was 30. And so when I met MJ and this group of athletes, I got to know them well. And a couple of them, I were like little brothers to me that I was mentoring. But, you know, MJ, we just kind of developed a friendship. And I remember we both went home for Christmas. And I think I just said something like, oh, like, let me know. Maybe we can get coffee or something. And I remember when I said that, there was like a little bit of an excitement and a hope that, oh, this might happen. But I was very cautious of that and say, Ryan, no, like, we're not going there again. You know, remember, like, me and Jesus, we're good. And, you know, we never ended up getting coffee, but we came back. And I would say in January, I started recognizing that when MJ came to Alive or I would see her at events, I would get excited. I would have never, ever thought it was okay to have feelings for someone in a ministry if you're the leader of that. And so when I recognized I was having some feelings, I went right to my bosses, Mike and Julie Yoder, and they're the executive pastors at the Vineyard Church. And I just told them how I felt. And honestly, I was ready to get let go, to say, okay, why don't you take like time off? And of course, MJ or no one else knew, but I went right to my bosses and just kind of said, guys, I'm having these feelings. I want you to know, like, I'm kind of like turning myself in, you know? And of course I didn't act on those feelings, but I just knew I needed to tell them. And they were like, well, Ryan, you know, she is an adult. It's okay. She's 21. You know, she's a junior in college. Of course, pray about this, weigh about this. You know, it is different circumstances because you're a pastor and of a ministry, but she's an adult. Like, just slow down a little bit, you know? And I was so surprised by their grace, by their understanding, by just like, you know, they definitely wasn't saying like, okay, date, you know, they weren't saying that at all, but they also weren't saying, you know, I remember Mike actually says like, yeah, I probably wouldn't recommend this, but also, I'm not going to put God in a box. And if this is God, I'm not going to be the person to tell you that it's not. And I remember he said that. I was so blown away by his grace and his wisdom. And I walked out of that meeting, and it's almost like that movie when they're saying like, so you're saying there's a chance. And I was like, wow, like even if it's a 1% chance, there's a chance, you know? And so that blew me away and amazed me. And you know, just continue to live life and pursue Jesus and lead the ministry. And I would say then beginning of February, I was like, wow, I'm having feelings. But the one of, I would say, my first miracles or breakthrough in our story is every time I liked a girl, I could never choose her. And I could never choose her because, again, I was afraid of getting it wrong. I was afraid of, what if I make the wrong choice like my mom and dad did? And again, not out of any disrespect or dishonor to my mom and dad, but I was paralyzed by this fear. And again, maybe it's the Disney complex, but, but you know, I of like there's this one person, and if you get it wrong, the trajectory of your lives are going to be changed, and you're going to have the wrong kids and like all this stuff, you know. And I think even part of me living was, I a mistake, you know, both of my, you know, I don't have my dad's last name because my mom and dad weren't married. I don't have my mom's last name because she's married to someone else now, you know. And so it's kind of like, where do I fit? And so, yeah, we continue just to grow in friendship. But I remember the moment when I realized I had feelings for her, and I said, God, I can't go down this road if you're not in this. And I always wanted to know, when I liked a girl, oh, is she going to be the one that I marry? And I felt like the Lord just said, Ryan, why don't we just figure out, as long as you have a green light for now, and I know that he's with me now, I don't want to know if I'm going to marry her, because then that takes the adventure out of it. I mean, again, we live by faith, not by sight. And I always wanted to have all my ducks in a row in this area of my life. Every other area of my life, I was spontaneous and adventure.
Interesting.
But this area of my life, I was so, because I was fearful. But I remember when I felt like there was just a piece of like, God, show me if you are in this, and if you're in this, that's good enough for me. And I remember the first time I was actually working at Game Day Sporting Goods Store on campus, and I remember it was an early February morning, and it was just myself and the manager in the store, and the Lord just started speaking to me as I was working, and I was crying out to him, say, God, if you are in this, I need to know. I cannot have feelings for her if this isn't your will, if this isn't your best, if this isn't good for her or for me. I just can't go down this road. There's too much risk. And I'm just crying out to him, please let me know. And Lord, I know you're a God of signs and wonders. I know you're a God who speaks, but please just show up and tell me in a way that only you can. I definitely was not putting him to the test, but in some way I needed a sign. And I remember I just even got on my knees in the store and I was crying. I didn't even care if my boss or anyone saw me. I was just desperate for God to show up and give me any direction. And I remember I went to my manager, hey, can I go across the street? I need to ship something in FedEx. And he said, yeah. And so I walked out of the FedEx store, and literally this is 5 minutes after I said this prayer. My head is down. I'm still just kind of sad and down and confused. And I hear a voice. And this voice says, oh my gosh, is that Ryan Otto? And I looked up, and it was Mary Jane Horth.
What was God up to? Is this coincidence? Is it God? For this guy who was so afraid of moving forward in a relationship, was this God giving a green light? Part two is coming up on Epic. Welcome back to Epic. Today we're sharing Ryan and MJ Otto's story. Ryan had always been filled with fear when it came to dating, fear of making a mistake or hurting someone. He needed God to speak in a big way before he would ever move forward. And now that he had met MJ, he was desperate to know if this was God's will. Here is part two of their story.
I definitely was not putting him to the test, but in some way I needed a sign. And I remember I just even got on my knees in the store and I was crying. I didn't even care if my boss or anyone saw me. I was just desperate for God to show up and give me any direction. And I remember I went to my manager, hey, can I go across the street? I need to ship something in FedEx. And he said, yeah. And so I walked out of the FedEx store, and literally this is 5 minutes after I said this prayer. My head is down. I'm still just kind of sad and down and confused. And I hear a voice. And this voice says, oh my gosh, is that Ryan Otto? And I looked up, and it was Mary Jane Horth. And this was the first time I've ever seen her on campus with 40,000 students. And even as I say this now, the awe of like, oh my gosh, you know, my jaw was dropping. I'm trying not to like cry or act weird, you know, and she'll tell you, she just found out she was having a season ending injury. She's a gymnast at the University of Illinois with the women's gymnastics team. And so she was kind of like sad, but like, oh, hi, Ryan. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, and I'm trying to be normal. But I'm just like, what? Like blown away.
yeah, that one day that I saw him on campus, I just found out that I was getting surgery the next day and, you know, was almost in tears just myself thinking about that. And then I see him and he may not remember this, but I just remember his mouth just being jaw dropped open the whole time. And I was like, dude, I'm telling you about this sad story, like what just happened to me in my life. And he just isn't really saying anything. Just jaw dropped. I'm like, all right, I don't know what's going on, but this is weird.
How long did that conversation last?
It might have only been a minute or two, but still the whole minute, just mouth open.
Yeah, I was just trying to hold it together with everything in me. And then I just gave her a quick hug and, you know, said I'd be praying for her. Yeah. But I literally couldn't talk because I was just 5 minutes. I'm in the store at my work on my knees crying, arms open wide, asking God, God, please show up. Please. I literally saying, God, I know I'm not putting you to test, but I need literally like a lightning strike from heaven knowing that only this is you. And I've never seen Mary Jane on campus at all outside of a church event when there was a planned 40,000 students. And 5 minutes later, I walk out, my head's down, and I hear her voice. And so the real miracle for me comes after that. I was walking away from her back to the store, and I remember oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened. But I'm like, all right, calm down, Ryan. This doesn't mean she's your wife. This doesn't mean anything. Coincidences happen. You know, your mind's kind of talking you into that. And then it was seriously, it felt like a movie scene. I'm crossing the street. I think I stopped in the middle of the street. And I just felt like I heard just this peaceful, gentle, loving voice, not audibly, but in my heart, the voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Father saying, Ryan, will you begin to trust and believe that I want what you want? And that is so meaningful to me because for much of my Christian life, I was living it, I call it an Old Testament lifestyle. I was like, Lord, just tell me what to do. Do you want me to go right? Do you want me to go left? Do you want me to jump? Do you want me to stay? You know, and it was just like, if he didn't speak, I didn't move. And I was literally paralyzed to live. And I think that was good for a while. But the Lord was bringing me in my faith and saying, Rye, I want you to start living and I want you to start trusting yourself and trust that as a compass, as a guide, as a friend, as a savior, I will guide you. If you go down a route that you're not supposed to go down, I'm going to let you know. And that's why church and family and community and scripture is so important. But I was afraid to live. And so when I felt like God told me that, will you start to believe and trust that I want what you want, basically saying that your desires and what you want are good, are of me, that was mind-blowing to me. It was a whole new perspective, and I felt like almost it was like, now I'm going to teach you to start living in the new covenant, my grace, and I'm going to guide you. I'm going to continue to sanctify you and help you to be the man that I'm called you to be. And so that was so powerful for me. And it kind of took me on this journey of saying, all right, Jesus, if you are in this, I really, really like her. And I believe this is definitely something I never would have thought of. I never would have thought was okay in the church's eyes, in your eyes. I was very nervous of what other people would thought. But I'm like, God, if you're in this, I'm in this. Mm-hmm. And please just show up and show me in a way that only you can. And so I'd like to call it the three big signs for me, and MJ has some of her own, but this was definitely the one that got my attention. I kind of feel like Gideon, right? When he asked God to show up, you know, with the fleece and the dew, and then he's like, you know, and the dew was on the fleece, and he's like, all right, God, well, you know, just can you give me one more time? And can this time, can the, you know, dew not be on the fleece? And like, you know, and then he asked again. I was like Gideon on steroids where I just had to keep asking. But God loves us so much, and he knows us, and he knew I needed a lot of help.
So, did you have any idea what was going on in him during that time?
No, not at all. Okay. And I had no idea what was going on in his own heart.
So what happened next?
So at this point, God had my attention, and I was, and this is where the real miracle is, like, Lord, I choose her. I choose her. I believe you're in this. At this point, I was like just so amazed by her integrity. She truly is the most selfless person I've ever met in my life, and her character and her heart. And I just was falling in love, and I had this peace that God was in it. I kept my bosses and my mentors at church in the loop every step of the way, my aunt and uncle and family. I had probably tons of people praying, and she had no idea. But, you know, I didn't think at this point it would be right or okay to date her. So at this point in my life, I said, okay, God, you're in this. I choose her. I love her. And I'm going to wait a year or 2 years until she graduates. This was the end of her junior year, so we didn't know she'd be graduating next year, or because of her injury, she might have 2 years left. But I was willing to wait, and I didn't think it would be appropriate to have feelings for her while I was still the pastor and she was still a part of our ministry. So I was going to wait. But I did tell a student that was close to her and I, more out of accountability, because I said, hey, please don't, when we're all hanging out, please make sure I don't treat her any different. You know, I want to treat her the same as everyone else. And this guy was like a little brother, and we're very close now. But that's where the story takes a hard right turn, and it got a little hard. But this is where the miracle really started to happen.
Ryan knew he loved MJ, but he had no intention of letting her know that until she graduated. But that is not how things worked out, and her response was not what he hoped for. Here is a bit of what you'll hear in next week's episode of Epic.
I was devastated that, again, this is happening, or, you know, I'm just dreams, you know, what did I do? And I thought God had shown up and given me confirmation, and just so hurt, and just more sad that I have made MJ hurt.
Hear part two of their story next week on Epic. Thanks so much to Ted Ross and Jason Rackow for help with production. Thanks to Stefan Johnson for our theme music. I'm your host, Meredith Foster. See you next week. Thanks so much for listening. Every episode of Epic is made possible by people like you. You can make a gift today at myfaithradio.com. And if you love the show, let others know about it by sharing this audio link. You can make sure you never miss an episode when you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or your favorite podcast player.